Welcome to the Allison Lombatis Show, a podcast to help women discover and rediscover their confidence and style. I'm Allison Lombatis, and I'm grateful to have you here. On today's episode, I'm speaking with Donna, who wrote into the show because she has a closet full of trendy clothes that just aren't working for her. During our conversation today, Donna shares her ongoing battle, dressing how she wants versus how others expect her to dress, why she feels costumey in her outfits, and how growing up poor impacted her relationship with style. If you haven't subscribed to the show yet, please take a moment to do so now. I've got an incredible lineup of guests for you in the coming weeks, and I don't want you to miss a thing. And if you enjoy listening to the show, I would be so grateful if you take a moment to rate it and leave a review. I know it seems like a silly thing, but your rating and review really do help, especially for new shows like this one. We're going to chat with Donna shortly, but first, will you join me and my producer, Lauren, for a coffee chat? Hello, Lauren, and welcome to Coffee Chat. I've got my tea today. I'm a poser. I don't actually have coffee, but...
Okay, are you ready for my confession?
It's all good.
Because I have a water chat with you today, so my apologies.
You're so healthy.
Don't get me wrong. I had my coffee earlier. I did too. Cool.
Yes. How many cups do you do?
I am usually a one cup a day girl.
Oh, impressive.
I know.
That's good.
I mean, I guess so.
I was three cups a day, but I just cut back to two a day and I'm still tempted on that third one, but I just walk away now. So
walk away. Think about something else. Good. Yes.
Yes, exactly. I get my caffeine and tea.
Exactly. That's perfect. Perfect. Especially where you live. I know you liked your iced tea, so you get that little hit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think we'd get kicked out of Texas if we did not drink tea. At least I don't do sweet tea. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but yeah.
I won't lie. Last spring when I was down there, when I met you and we went to that conference, and I literally took a picture of the table when we were in the conference room and they had like the dinner and everything like that. I'd never been to Texas before. It was my first time. And the cups, the glasses of tea that were set out on every table, I took a picture of it because I'm like, my family is not going to believe this. The way that you guys have tea set out, like we put water out, like that is not a thing in Canada. So it just like, it was one of those photo worthy moments for me and a story that I talked about when I came back home. So yeah.
Oh, that's tripping me out. That's hilarious. Yeah. I gotta tell my husband Craig that one. Cause we are just like the biggest tea sucks that exist on planet Earth. Everywhere we go, we're like, we judge a place by their tea. I'm not kidding. Like he stopped going to a popular wing restaurant because they stopped serving brewed iced tea and they do like the, I don't know, it's like the instant tea or whatever, but it's not brewed tea. And he's like, nope, I'm not going there now. Yes, we're serious about our tea.
Apparently.
So serious.
I'm making a note. Well, yes. I would love to, speaking of making notes, I'm guessing here, I haven't actually asked you, but probably one of your top three frequently asked questions in your Instagram DMs, correct me if I'm wrong, is about your lashes. Does that sound accurate? Would you say top three?
Lashes, necklaces. Yeah, it's definitely up there.
Okay.
You are correct.
Okay.
Top three for sure. Yeah.
All right. So let's get into it. Let's put it on the record. And that way everyone will know going forward. I would love to know tell us what lashes you're using. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. So a few years back, I wore lash extensions and I wore lash extensions for probably like 2-3 years. And over time, I started developing this horrible allergic reaction to them. And we kept switching up the glue and nothing was working. My eyes would be like swollen, itchy, red for 3 days after I get my extensions. And then it kind of calmed down and go away. And finally, one day I was like, I can't do this anymore. But I loved the look of that. And I had always had naturally long, thick lashes before I did the extensions. But then after I wore them for a few years, my real lashes were like stunted in growth. They were bad. And so when I got the extensions out, I was like, okay, well, this is terrible. I can't wear them anymore. And I don't have natural lashes anymore. So what am I going to do? So I went to like Walgreens or CVS one day. I'm like, I'm just going to buy some of the adhesive strips and just try them out.
Well, that was a disaster. I came home, experimented with it, was like, forget this, threw it all in the trash, not going to do it. I'm just going to have to find good mascara because this is not going to work for me. And then I came back around on it again and I bought actually these Kiss lashes, the So Wispy, if you're watching this on YouTube, I'm holding these up, number 11. And these were just the perfect lashes for me because they're just the right length and thickness. They feel a lot like my natural lashes used to look. Did they take a little bit of experimentation? Yes. It took me a long time to get the hang of this. But I think the key that I had to learn is that these are too long for my eyes. So if I trim them to the exact right length, that makes application so much easier. So now it takes me about 30 seconds a day. I'm not kidding. If you guys have seen my videos on Instagram when I've done this, I can literally just pop these things on in about 30 seconds a day because they're trimmed to the right length. And I have just practiced this over and over and over again.
I love that. I don't know that I would have thought to cut them shorter. So I love that tip. How many times can you re-wear a set?
How many times are you supposed to rewear a set? It's kind of like my disposable contacts that I'm supposed to throw away every day. Yeah, that doesn't happen. Like once a month, maybe. I rewear them until they kind of just get really worn out. When I take them off at night before I shower, I remove the day's glue that's on there, just kind of pull it off with my fingers and pop them back on the next day. And they are great. I can get out of these 8-pack of lashes, probably at least like 6 months, if not more, of wear, unless I get them wet. Then they, like if I'm crying or something or end up getting them wet accidentally, then I have to replace them more frequently, but they last forever. So like economically, I was spending, I don't know, over $100 on a set of lashes and then getting fills every few weeks. These are like $8 on Amazon. I get them every 6 months with a little tube of my lash adhesive. I use the Duo clear lash adhesive and it's a couple bucks a tube. I mean, you can't beat that, right?
That's amazing. Honestly, that's so much longer than I was anticipating you were going to say. So, and I guess the note, don't like jump in the pool or the ocean with the lashes on. Is that what you're saying? Don't get them wet?
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's the advantage of the extensions, right? Is that you can get them wet. And of course you wake up in the morning with lashes. You don't have to put them on.
Fair.
But yeah, but otherwise I don't miss laying there in the lash chair for an hour while that's getting done. I don't know about you, but I'm like, I get super antsy whenever I'm having something like that done. Like when I have my brows done, I'm like, I can't do this. I can't lay still.
Yep. I 100% relate to that. So I am curious, you mentioned your glue. Do you have any application tips? I've heard people say something about putting the glue on the strip and then letting it sit for like, I don't know, 10, 15 seconds to let it get tacky or something. Is that something you do? Do you have any other tips for us?
Yes. Yes. So other than trimming the lashes to your eye size, and you kind of have to play around with this a little bit to figure it out. My second tip is that I use tweezers. I pick up my lashes with the tweezers and then I just put a very thin bead of the glue, the adhesive along the lash. I let it dry for about 10 seconds so it gets just slightly tacky because then it's easier to just kind of lay it on the lash line. So my right eye, I start on the inner corner and work my way out whenever I'm applying them. And on my left eye, I start at the outer corner and work my way in. I don't know why I do it that way, but it just works so much better. And the cool thing too about this lash glue is it doesn't dry immediately. So it is a little bit tacky if you need to pull them back off and then just like reposition to put them back on, which I tend to do all the time, then it makes it super easy to do that. You don't have to reapply the glue every time. And it doesn't take much of this at all. Seriously, just a very thin light layer is the key.
That's awesome. Are you right-handed?
Yes.
And is the left one? I'm also right-handed and I find trying to put on a left lash is like, oh, my butt, I like the mirror, I'm poking myself in the eye. It is a disaster every time. So yeah, it's interesting that your application technique switches up depending on which side you're.
Yeah, that makes sense. I guess that is why I do it that way. So I take my right hand and then I just kind of start on this outer corner and bring it in and then, yeah, okay, fair enough.
So I also brought my lashes today. I don't wear them nearly as often as you do. Mine are also Kiss brand, which I'll hold up again if you're watching on YouTube. Not sponsored, but Kiss, if you want to hit us up, please reach out. We would love a podcast sponsor. So my lashes, again, this was something I saw a ton of influencers on Instagram talking about. And yours are like a full strip, whereas mine are smaller clusters. Ooh. And the thing that I really love about these is no glue needed. So these are like little segments of lashes, and there's two strips. One of them's medium length, and then this one is the long length. I've only used the medium one so far. It does come with the tweezers, but it's no glue. So the top of the lash has a little bit of stickiness on it. So you just kind of tuck it up under your lash, and then I discovered a trick. This is all about the application tips, right? I was using the tweezers that they mm-hmm. came with, and I was kind of, you know, pushing it up under the lash, and then I would adjust the tweezers and kind of pinch to try and get the adhesive to stick to my lashes. And then just this week on Instagram, I saw an influencer using the same lashes, and she says, I don't even use the tweezers. I just kind of stick them up into my lash line, and then I just pinch. And I went, oh my gosh, this is going to be a game changer. So of course, the very next morning I'm in the bathroom and I'm like pinching, and so much easier to put on. So much easier. Still a little bit stumbly with the left eye because you want to use your right hand, but then you can't see because your hand's in front of you. Like, it's a disaster on that sense. But that little tidbit about forget the tweezers, just do the pinch, has made it so much easier to put on. Having said that, we just actually finished our recording with Donna, which you guys are going to hear momentarily. And I put the lashes through the test, and I did cry off a little lash cluster when you were talking to Donna. So I will share that disclaimer in terms of, maybe the adhesive glue would have been helpful in that situation. But yeah, outside of that, as long as I'm not crying, they've been great.
Yeah. They just didn't pass the tear test, but that's okay. Thanks. I love that you learned that tip on Instagram. What did we do? How did we do our makeup and all of these beauty and our hair before Instagram? I don't understand. Like, everything I learn, I'm learning on social media.
100%. I know. It's just like, now I'm in the makeup over 40, hair over 40. Tell me what to do, because I don't know.
Show me, internet, please.
Well, if our listeners need any lash help and they want to check out the lashes that we have talked about today, they can find those in the show notes. We'll link those up for you at allisonlabattis.com/podcast to make your lash dreams come true. Are we ready to Woo-hoo! Dive into your chat with Donna, Allison?
Yes, I cannot wait to share this with you. And now let's dive into my chat with Donna. Hello there, Donna. Welcome to the show. I am thrilled that you're willing to chat with me today a little bit more about your style story and some of your struggles that you're experiencing. So you have been an Outfit Formulas member for quite a while, right?
Yes, since 2019.
Oh, wow. Okay. So 5 years. That's awesome. I love this because I do get to have a little bit of, I get to cheat, right? Because I get to see some of the pictures you're posting in the Facebook group and
yeah,
and get to follow along on your journey a little bit more. But would you mind giving our listeners just a quick little introduction about you?
Okay. I'm a mother of two. I'm recently remarried, going on 3-4 years. I am the office accounting manager at a tractor dealership. So I have a pretty busy life, and we just had 3 grandbabies in 1 year. So I love all things fashion, all things. I've always been a fashion lover. I grew up very poor, so I couldn't really buy fashion or any new clothes. So I think my adulthood, I've recouped.
Compensated beautifully, right?
Yeah. Yes. A little too much. Yeah.
So in reviewing your notes that you sent over to us before the show today, you had noted that one of the biggest struggles is you have clothes that don't fit, feel good, or work for your lifestyle. So I would love for you to just kind of share a little bit more about that and the ways that that's kind of impacting getting dressed every day.
I've pretty much almost always worked in an office. And I had office clothing. When I went to work for the tractor dealership, they're really laxed. But my boss does like for us to look appropriate. And when I took on this new role, I felt like I needed to be quite a bit dressier, but I could still wear the casual items too. And my wardrobe has pretty much turned into mostly denim. Nothing wrong with denim. I love denim. But Monday through Thursday, I like to be a little more dressier. I find dress clothes just fit me better. I feel better in dress clothes, but that's not the majority of what I have now. I've went way casual. And I struggle a little bit between being fashionable and being dressy. I tend to be or feel more fashionable when I'm in casual clothing. So that's a struggle that I have. That's why I say it doesn't really fit my moments.
Mm, yeah, that totally makes sense. So correct me if I'm wrong, but you feel like you've kind of had this transition in your closet, right? Where you were maybe dressing a little bit dressier and now it's more casual. You said that you do feel more confident though in your more casual clothing. But is that only, do you have casual Fridays only in your new office?
No, I can wear casual anytime. I can wear denim anytime. Actually, I think it's just, I know the preference of the atmosphere in the office. He would prefer me to be a little more dressier and not as casual.
Okay. So how do you feel about that? About the dressier look? You say you feel more stylish in the casual clothing, but you feel like the expectation is for you to show up a little bit dressier, at least Monday through Thursday of every week, right?
Correct. Okay. Correct. Yes. Okay. I don't know. I struggle with feeling fashionable. And then I sometimes feel like I'm overdressed. It's a fine line for me to be business. I don't want to say business casual, but business dressed without being overdressed for my job. My boss's wife once said to me, dress for the job you want, not the job you have. So I feel out of place, I guess, if I wear denim, but some days I want to wear denim. So I don't know how to dress that appropriately.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's feeling like you've got that little bit of pressure to step up the game a little bit, right?
And I like to dress. Don't get me wrong. I like to dress up. So I just want to be appropriate at all times and I want to still feel stylish.
So it's really about finding that mix of feeling stylish, yet also being able to incorporate more of the dressier items into your wardrobe. Is that right?
And not be costumey. Not be costumey. I feel like sometimes I'm costumey.
You also shared that you would love for your items to work in cohesion and simplify your mornings. Actually, I'm going to stop here. I want to go back to that comment about feeling costumey. Okay. I would love to hear a little bit more about that. When you say that, what image does that conjure up for you?
I feel like I put a lot of trend pieces together at one time sometimes. And so I feel like that comes off as like as a movie character, basically. I don't feel like that shows my true personality. I do like to stay in fashion. I do like trendy pieces. I love Coco Chanel. And I know she says, before you leave, take an item off. I feel like I'm not aware of which item to take off. What looks the best without so much?
I love this. I feel like you're really figuring out your authenticity through style and what feels true to you, where you feel like you're not dressing a part as a character, but doing the things that are really just kind of honoring who you are. And I think that this is such a worthwhile journey and thing for every woman to explore, because that's really where that style confidence is found, is in finding those pieces and those items that do truly feel authentic to you. And I think you can definitely get there, because I do have the privilege of watching, you know, your journey throughout our private community Facebook group and seeing First off, I would never classify anything you wear as costuming. I think that you definitely know how to put outfits together. You know your style well. And I also, we'll get into this a little bit more later, but I got to see your style story photos, which was super fun. And I could relate to a lot of those styles that you wore back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Yes. So I wanted to dig in a little bit more too about, you had mentioned that you, and this was in our pre-show notes, that you would love for all your items to work in cohesion to simplify your mornings. Yes. So tell me a little bit more about where you're struggling in the morning.
You have taught me a lot about staple items. My closet was so full of, like I said, trendy pieces. I didn't know what staple items was until I found you. And I'm like, oh, I don't just have a white t-shirt or just a black t-shirt. I don't have this. I don't have that. So, of course, every capsule that came out, I wanted to buy everything. I'm now, like you said, coming to the realization of every piece is not for me. Every piece doesn't work for me. And that's okay, because there's lots of other items. There's staples in every one that you do. And those items is what I feel like are going to work for me, with putting a few trend pieces in. I can get up at 4:30 in the morning, have my workout, get ready. I've got to be at work at 8. I have a 20-minute drive. And I struggle every morning when it comes time to put my outfits together. Some mornings I know what I'm going to wear. I pick them out based on the app or based on what we're doing, you know, and I still struggle. I don't like the way it looks on me. I don't feel like I paired it correctly to fit my comfortability or my day. So oftentimes I feel like I'm running behind, even though I have everything prepared.
Do you feel like you have most of your closet staples covered at this point?
Most of them. Yes.
And of those closet staples, are they heck yes items when you put them on?
There's my problem. Most things are not a heck yes item for me. I have bought multiples of some items, and when I put them on, I don't like the way they fit. So I've got rid of recently like 4 huge bags of clothing, and I still have a packed closet. Shoes, clothes, I have 4 closet fulls. I have 3 white shirts and none of them are my favorite.
It sounds like you're making progress, but we can definitely address closet clean out a little bit more thoroughly later on. I think that, you know, this is always the first place I tell women to start, is really just taking the things out of your closet that you're not currently wearing, focusing on those staples or even the trend items you currently have that are the heck yes items, and then just kind of rebuilding from there and shopping with intention in order to do that. So I know that some of the things are working great for you right now. I mean, I see photographic evidence of that. I know we tend to be our harshest critics, right? But I do see that you are working with the pieces you have and you're putting together your outfits and doing a really, really good job at it. So I do want to give you credit for that. What do you feel is currently working for you with your clothes and style?
This last year, the past year, I have found a lot of closet staples that I'm using over and over instead of having the multiple items, which I know you're going to need more than one white shirt. Maybe one might be dirty. I might need another one. But I'm learning to fit my body and not go by the size of the garment. I'm learning what fits my body when I put it on, when I try it on, to try things on and not just purchase online. I'm learning to send it back. If I don't like it, don't just keep it. Send it back.
Yeah, sometimes that's hard.
It is very hard for me. But like I said, I also learned not everything works for me, or it doesn't have to be just the pictured item. I can go out and find something that fits different color. Fits me better. I'm trying to use more neutrals. I like neutrals. Black and white are my favorite. I feel like I'm a winter, so I feel like those work for me. So I feel like I'm learning to use those items that work for me. Clothing and color, fit, style.
I've heard you mention fit a lot throughout this, especially with, you know, your closet clean out and pieces that don't fit. And those are kind of the correct me if I'm wrong, but those are the pieces that don't feel like your heck yes items are. Is it primarily because of fit? Or is there some other factor? Is it more like this doesn't feel like it fits your personal style? Or is it that you don't feel like this is kind of like the right outfit for the office?
That's a little of both. A lot of it is fit because I haven't taken the time. I've just ordered or purchased without trying on and looking and taking a good look in the mirror and saying, okay, this does look good on me. Or maybe I could have this altered and it still look great because it fits in the waist, but just too long, in the length. I'm short, but my legs are long. So I don't always need a petite. And I have to know different styles or try that on to know. As far as what I wear to the office, most of the time I want to be so in fashion that I just feel like my items end up looking again like a costume. I feel like I'm just not, unless I'm wearing neutrals. I know everybody's the old money style now. I kind of like that. I'm a classic. I really do like classics. They really fit my lifestyle, I feel like, better than anything. If I had my wish right now, I would take everything out of my closet except for those classic pieces. And that's probably what I would learn to mix and match together. A true capsule wardrobe.
I love that. I think, honestly, I think that could work well for you because you do love a lot of neutrals and it's easy to build that base capsule with those neutrals and then add in, the pops of color along the way just to kind of keep things feeling fresh. One of the things I wanted to bring up is I do sense that there is a lot of external pressure about how you're showing up, for your job and in the world. Do you feel like this is kind of like leading to a little bit of a paralysis whenever it comes to getting dressed and really, are these the voices in your head that you're hearing whenever you're getting dressed each day? Is that where a lot of that's coming from?
Yes. I think I feel that pressure from, as a teenager, we all want to fit in and I don't feel like I did. So I feel that pressure. Even I'm 48, will be 49 at the end of the year. And I still feel that pressure to fit in, to be trendy, to be fashionable. But I also don't feel like that's true to my style because I like a white button down with jeans. I like a leopard print boot. I love a blazer. That's my style. I do love the classics with a pop of color or a animal print.
I love that you know what you love and you are trending toward this really kind of Chanel classics, really the timeless pieces, right? And I also feel like there's a way that you can honor that part of you and show up in your office and feel confident in those pieces. And there's a basis here for us to find kind of that happy medium for you in there. And I also love that you did explore a little bit of that, connecting the dots of when did I first feel this way? And when were these external judgments, these voices, when did this start? So I would love to dive a little bit into your style story. And for those of you in our audience who aren't yet familiar with the show format, we go a little bit deeper into everyone's style story because this is the space where we're able to learn about those influences and those experiences that every one of us has had that are around, the things like our clothing choices and the options that we've had available to us from childhood to adulthood. And, we can sit here, I'm 50, and I know that I can still think back about those comments that we heard as teenagers and how it affects us today. These include those messages that we heard around style, both from our own choices, as well as some of the rules that we may have grown up with or had imposed upon us. So I want to start off just really talking about that, that time in your life when you were a teenager and what was kind of going on at that time and some of those comments that are really kind of impacting where you're at today.
I grew up in a real dysfunctional home and we were very poor. When I was 14, I was about to go into high school and I remember saying, Mom, who will hire a 14-year-old? I've got to get a job so I can buy clothes and deodorant, just the normal things most kids need to buy. And I did find a job at a restaurant, and I was so excited. And the very first thing I did was, I don't know if anybody remembers, they had bow shoes at the time, Sam and Libby bow shoes. And everybody had them. And I bought a pair of those, and I bought a pair of Bass, just the things that I knew were trendy, but they were worth my money. And so I bought my clothes that year, and I felt a little better. Yet it didn't really change anything when I went to school. I still had the same friends, which was okay, but it didn't make me feel any better just because I had purchased those items. I didn't fit in any better. Nothing really changed except for me feeling better about myself. That's probably at the time that I started noticing things that I had a pastor's wife who was always just dressed so immaculately, but she was a very classic lady. She was classy and classic. She didn't spend a lot of money on clothes. And I remember seeing her closet and thought, I thought you had way more clothes than this, but she knew how to mix and match her clothing and always looked like she had something new on. She took care of her clothes, and she just looked like she wore a new outfit every time I seen her, but she didn't. And I think that's where I picked up on the classics of loving those and wanting to dress that way and wanting to learn to mix and match my style that way. I remember probably in the second grade, I had a pair of bell-bottom pants that were not stylish anymore because it was in the 80s. And a kid tripped me in gym all the time when I wore those. So I knew from an early age, okay, what you have on matters. Maybe it shouldn't matter that much, but it did to me. And I think that's where the need to fit in comes so much for me. But I think now, especially this year, I feel like I'm at that space where I'm like, I don't really care if I fit in. I want to wear what makes me feel good and what makes my life easy, but still be stylish. And that doesn't have to be four closet full of clothes. But it can be a capsule wardrobe that I learned to mix and match that makes me feel awesome every morning when I go to work, or if I want to wear my leggings on Saturday, feel great in my leggings.
Wow. So much in there. I want to unpack. Wow. First off, you are so inspiring in so many ways. I just thinking back on your journey and the experiences you have and how that's carrying over in today, I can see a lot of that influence in a lot of really good ways. Number one, I love that you had this amazing style mentor in your pastor's wife. She knew the classics. She knew how to use what she had. And also, you know, kind of imprinted on you that love of quality items. I love that you were able to be resourceful as a teenager and were able to acquire the things that you wanted. And again, like you were focused on those quality basics, which is carrying over into where you are today. Again, so beautiful. And I think those painful experiences that we have as kids, sometimes like you had with in second grade, you know, those are it's so formative because we just want to fit in, right? We're biologically wired to want to fit in because we had to, for survival. And so that's why those, you know, we have that negativity bias and why we focus on those painful experiences that we have in childhood and seeing how they show up today, I think just gives us that awareness, right? Of, okay, this situation feels familiar because of this situation or this experience. And that could be a little bit of, you know, what is showing up in your life today, for sure.
I think that's one of the reasons I have so much. I don't need that much. But when I go through them, I so enjoy giving them to other people. They're like, you want me to buy that? No, I want you to have it. I just want you to have it. I don't know. I love fashion, but I also like to make other people feel good through that. And all the girls at work are always asking me, what is this? Is this on one of your outfits today? Is this? And so I want to say, I usually say, yes, it is one of my outfits. But I also sometimes want to say, well, it is, but it's got my touch on it.
Totally. You need to take credit for that. You modify things beautifully to work for your style. And I want you to give yourself the credit for that. And also, I want to acknowledge your heart of generosity when you give the things away to other people.
That's the best feeling.
So you mentioned some of the experiences that you had as a teen when it came to style. And, you know, a lot of us are developing our style identities around 14, 15 years old. Is this that period where you were able to then start kind of like exploring style on your own? I'm going to guess that you probably didn't have a lot of resources. You didn't get to go shopping very often. But how do you feel like that experience has kind of impacted where you're at today?
I did make some money and was able to go shopping. And that's the first time I ever went to a mall. I had a friend that took me. So that gave me my love of shopping. It also taught me some of the freedoms of picking my own items and not just picking the things everybody else was wearing, even though that's where I felt the most pressure. I am known, I guess, to have those items that might be a little quirky or eccentric to some people, but I love them and I will wear them. If I love them, I don't care if they're in, out, it doesn't matter. I had a pair of red shoes one time in high school, and one of the football players said something to me about liking my shoes. And I don't know if he was serious or if, we were just joking because we sat next to each other every day. So we talked. But that was just something I liked. They were a hiking boot, and I loved them. So even though I feel the need to be trendy and to fit in, I'm also, if I like it, I'm doing it.
I love that. Yep. I'm feeling this sort of tension between what others' expectations are and what Donna loves and knows to be true. Mm-hmm. And I think that tension is going to stay there, and it's going to keep coming back to you every single day. Because the thing about it is, if we continue to ignore the things that are true, they just keep coming back at us, right?
Yes.
And the beauty of that is that it won't let us alone. And I can see this transition already happening with you where you are leaning more into that, but I also know that there's still room for that. And I think that we can work through that together. I have a few ideas that we'll talk through in a few minutes. But I did want to talk a little bit more about some of the roadblocks that you feel are getting in the way right now. A few of the things that you had mentioned were that you love having trends of every season, then you end up having too many trendy items. So making different outfits is a challenge for you, and that trendy items make it hard to continue making an outfit. So let's talk about that. And since you've already told me how you lean into classics a lot, I'm actually not surprised by this comment at all.
I think the biggest trendy item that I've got this season was the scarf. You had one scarf that I remember in the capsule, and I think I bought four, and I wore it one time, so it's hanging in my closet. I love it. I wore each one of them, I think, once, and one of them I already had in my closet. So that tells you that I really did love them when they were a popular item before. I had a moment before, but I really didn't need four. I really just needed one.
You wanted those bonus points.
Yes,
right?
I did.
Having four. Yes.
And I would like to just learn to mix and match those items instead of purchasing multiple items. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying, you can't have multiples. It's just for me, my life would be simpler if I could just mix and match a few things and be done.
Okay. So the trends kind of get in the way of the mixing and matching a little bit by really creating noise in your closet for you, which brings me to the second roadblock. Your closet is overflowing even after huge cleanouts. You need some help paring it down, but yet using what you have cohesively. Yes, I think that these issues are all, like, I can see the common thread in here. So you said your last closet cleanout was about a month ago. And you shared that you probably have a lot more in there that you could let go of at this point, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I have that thing in my head that all of us have, but what if you need it later?
Yes.
But there's a lot of it that doesn't fit me the way that I like. I've never pulled for it in 2 years. So I'm thinking, am I really going to pull it again? So I struggle going through to get rid of because of those things. But I know that I have a lot that needs to go.
Yep. And we know that the closet cleanout is really a lot of emotional baggage attached to the items that are in there. Frequently, it's not just a matter of, well, I'm not wearing this, so I'm going to get it out of here, right? It's more, they represent a lot of things to us. And especially when you didn't grow up with a lot of resources and you have the ability to acquire those things now, it is harder to get to that place where you don't know sometimes. It could be that it's a case of, you know, subconsciously you're wondering, can I replace these items later on? Or there are so many things that get in the way of that, right? And I definitely do want to talk about the closet cleanout process a little bit more. But first, I just want to stop for a second, Donna, and I want to thank you for being so vulnerable and sharing your story and your struggles with me today. I know that that's not easy, and I don't take that lightly. So thank you for that. It's a complicated thing, right? We think that it's just about the clothes, but it's not. It's about so many other factors in our lives that are impacting us and other people's opinions. And I think the beauty of getting to this place where you're at right now is this opportunity that you have to embrace this new chapter and to really just explore what feels right for you. And when we learn how to dress for ourselves, it just opens up this whole new world of beautiful possibilities. And I think you're definitely on your way there, well on your way there.
So I hope so.
I'm proud of you.
Well, thank you. You've helped me a lot. So
thank you. Yeah. So step one, if I had to wave the magic wand right now, I always go back to getting the closet cleaned out, because I think that the peace of mind that comes from that is totally worth the effort. And if it's been a little while since you've kind of gone through those questions in the closet cleanout that we have inside the Alpha Formulas membership site, you know, it's worthwhile just to ask yourself these questions about each item. And even if you're not ready to get rid of the stuff yet, you can put your things in a stash box and you can box them up and put them somewhere else. But really, it's just about that out of sight, out of mind. You had mentioned that some of the issues are that you don't feel like you have cohesive outfits that work together, that you feel like there's noise in your closet because of these trendier items that you aren't wearing a lot. Honestly, you have the 4 scarves, but if you've only wore them one time each, they're kind of creating some noise and clutter in your closet. They're not one of your staples items, right? So really just focusing in on those things that you love, the 20% of the clothes that you're probably wearing. I love to throw that stat out there because it's mind blowing that we really only wear about 20% of our clothes 80% of the time. So getting rid of those things that don't feel like they're a good fit for you is really just kind of step one in this process. And for our listeners, if this is something that you need to do that's resonating with you, if you're hearing this and shaking your head and saying, oh my gosh, yes, I need to do this, you can pick up our closet cleaning guide too at allisonlombatis.com/podcast. We'll have a link for you there in the show notes. But I have a 3-step process where you take everything out of the closet and you sort it into 3 categories: your cash box, which is going to be anything that can be sold or donated; your stash box, these are going to be the things that you maybe haven't been wearing in 6 months to a year, but you're not quite ready to let go of yet. And then you're going to have your trash box. So this is anything that can be recycled. This is just really not kind of wearable anymore. What's left over is what's going to go back in your closet. And the first time you do this, you might feel a little scared because you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I have no clothes. But these are the clothes that you're actually wearing. And this also gives you that kind of clean slate to start building your wardrobe on top of. And knowing that when you're shopping with intention, and these are gaps that you actually need to fill. And I think this would help you too, Donna, to view this through the lens of, do I need to add this trend? Does this trend speak to me? Just because a trend is out there, just because it's on one of our shopping lists, really just kind of recognizing maybe this one's not going to work for me. And I'm going to lean more classic with this outfit. It might mean skipping the scarf if you don't want to add that in, or substituting something that's more classic and feels more like you, but not always feeling that pressure that you have to go out and buy all the trends, because you know that you're a classic lady, right?
Yes.
So just remove that pressure from yourself and really just living into who you are and what feels authentic to you in your wardrobe is going to be the biggest game changer for you. And it's not an overnight fix. This is something that takes time. It takes experimentation and trying different things and seeing how they feel for you until you land on those items that just make you feel so confident that you don't care when you walk into the office what anybody else thinks. Because when you looked in the mirror this morning, you felt like $1 million when you walked out the door. And that's really the place that we want to get to with this.
Oh, yes.
Yes. So step one, just get rid of that clutter. We can clear that out. Get rid of the decision fatigue in the morning when you're walking in there, when you're 4:30 in the morning and you're looking at all this stuff in your closet. It's no wonder you're feeling overwhelmed, honestly. Just take it out of there for now. You don't have to get rid of it, but just get it out of there, out of sight, out of mind. And then I think that really just step two, again, is just going to come through this experimentation for you. And, you know, I hope that our conversation has helped to kind of connect some of those dots.
Yes.
Of what your early style preferences were and how that can show up today. And some of the factors that are influencing your decisions and those external voices and opinions, and really just kind of learning to tune into the voice in here more than the voices out here is going to be a huge part of your style journey.
Yeah, I like that.
And if you want to experiment a little bit more with the classic items that you love, you know, go to Pinterest and do a search for classic Chanel. You can even look like Chanel inspired outfits and see what comes up. And then just on gut instinct, pin about 20 to 30 of those images and start looking for some commonalities in those. See if you have some of those pieces in your closet that you can recreate some of those looks. If not, then maybe those are good items to add to your shopping list, because you know that you're going to get a lot of wear out of your classic items. So those are the things that are worth the spend, you know, and the investment in adding back into your closet at that point in time, for sure. One of the interesting things that you mentioned is that when you, you know, got your first job and you bought those quality pieces, those Bass loafers and your Sam Edelman flats, and you went back to school, you said that you felt good in those pieces, but nothing else changed. So talk to me a little bit more about that.
I guess that that's when I become to realize that my clothes made me feel good, but it didn't change my environment. It didn't change my friends. And so that, even though that's part of me, that's not what projects to change my life. If I had no clothing at all and I lost everything today and I had to start all over, my life would still be the same, because I value people and places over that. It's not going to change my circumstance, I guess is what I'm saying. No matter how much I buy, how much it costs, it's not going to change who I am, and it's not going to change my circumstance. It's if people like me because of those items, they're probably not my real friends.
Wow. That's really powerful. That inner knowing of who you are and what your worth is and your value and what you bring to the table. And it has absolutely nothing to do with anything on the outside, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yes. I love that. I love also that you shared with me some of your photos for your style story. Yes. As you were going through those, were there any photos in particular that really stood out to you? I love seeing some of those. So some of those trends that I've dipped a toe in myself.
Those younger pictures are two of the items that I bought by myself. One was a Valentine's dance. It was a black velvet dress with lots of color. And they kind of are the colors that fit my coloring. The other...
Lots of jewel tones, right?
Yes, yes. And I love those. The other was a suit, kind of what's coming back in now. It was more of a very wide leg, a nipped in blazer, and the choker was the big thing then. So those are items I purchased with my own clothes. The other... Three, where I'm in a gray t-shirt and jean or jean shorts. Those are when I very first started Style Formula. And I can't tell you how much my confidence has changed since those photos. And that's why I added the last photos. I have a smile on my face. I feel really good about myself, even though I'm still struggling. I can't explain it. I feel like I'm finding myself, and I feel like I just feel happier. I went through lots and lots of struggles in my life. I was going through a divorce. My mom had cancer. I was not in such a great place relationship wise when I took those first photos with Outfit for Meals. And I think you can see that in my face. And now I smile and I'm happy and I'm learning what fits me. And I'm learning how to express myself the way that I want to, I think. It's hard some days. I still struggle with that, but it's my life is changing for the better. I'm finding confidence where I don't feel like I ever had it before.
Oh, I love that. I can totally see it. Totally see it. The transformation, the confidence, the smile. You are coming into your own. You have a beautiful heart. And I'm just so grateful that you agreed to come on here and share it with us today. Thank you. Thank you again, Donna, for joining me. Thank you. Thank you for inspiring me. Thank you for inspiring so many others. Seriously, your story is beautiful. You are amazing in every way. And I am just so incredibly grateful to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Now I'd love to hear your thoughts about today's conversation. Did you see yourself in any part of Donna's story? Are you challenged by dressing in what you want versus what others expect from you? Did growing up with limited financial resources impact your style? Let's open a dialogue and connect. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube as Allison Lombatis, and I'd love to hear from you. If you share thoughts about your own style story on social media, please tag me. I'd love to see it and cheer you on. Remember, you are worthy. Style is a skill anyone can learn, and closet contentment is possible. I believe in you. Thanks for tuning in.